You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good morning, man.
Man, good morning to you too, sir. How you doing this morning?
You know, I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good considering I drank about a fourth of that Jack Daniels bottle over there.
It wasn't that bad. But you know what? If you're going to do it big, you're in the place to do it because, ladies and gentlemen, we are now in Viva Las Vegas.
We're in Las Vegas,
yeah!
Man. It's so great to be here. It's just a beautiful time of year. It's a little cooler right now in Las Vegas.
So it's,
I don't feel like I'm, you know, frying like I'm on the surface of the sun or something like you feel like when you come here any other time of year.
Dude, it's dangerous though. It's dangerous.
It's ridiculous.
You and
man.
I don't know,
but this city's not supposed to even be here.
No, this is true. Mo Green set it up. He knew what he was doing. But here's the thing. Like you and I, we grew up in hot areas, right?
Yeah,
like
sure.
Mississippi, Texas. Like these are warm areas, warm climates. We've talked throughout the history of the show about like just the impossibility of living in the regions that we've lived in. But there is there's an advantage to living in those areas because you're surrounded typically by water. We've got the big Mississippi River, we've got the oceans.
No, that's right.
It's like mostly, you know, relatively coastal, at least by comparison to where we are now.
If you get hot, at least you can go get wet.
Yeah. Well, and not just that, but your body is like constantly like taking in moisture, releasing moisture, taking in moisture.
No, that's right.
You come out here though, like even the lizards look like they shouldn't even exist. They got those like crinkly, you know, like scales and everything. It's like you look like a rock because you're not supposed to be anything but a rock.
I think those lizards were actually like high rolling gamblers that they've been out here a little too long. They're kind of leathery, you know.
Right. Yeah. I met one of those on my flight in.
Yeah. You did. You told me about that. You told me about that guy.
That's right.
No, man, it's great to be here. Of course, man, we're, you know, doing these retreats this year, which has been so much fun, kind of linking up in different cities across America. And of course, you know, we're, man, just excited to be here. It's wonderful. Man, on the day that actually the Las Vegas International Pipe Show
That's right. Is
getting cranked up today as we're recording, we're going to knock out a few episodes here and then go over and join all the
Head
festivities
over to the show,
and so
yeah.
It's gonna be great, man. But it's been so long. How you been, man?
You know, I don't want to answer that question.
Actually, you've been kind of crummy. Actually, I've been kind of crummy.
Like you know what? Here's the deal. Thank you for asking.
That's hilarious. Yeah, it's like maybe we should talk about something happy because it's been kind of a tough few months.
I'm going to take it a different direction. Man, thank you so much for asking. I've been crazy busy because, of course, you know, we have been in the process of launching this Kickstarter campaign for The Pirate's Daughter.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's right.
It has been it takes so much, John David, just to try. Like when you're trying to like create something, you know, like or build something that doesn't exist, you know,
right?
Like just the trying alone is such a massive effort. Because, you know, you think about like a Kickstarter campaign, that's so you can build the fund, get the funds together so you can actually build the thing or create the thing.
Yeah.
And in order to make a Kickstarter, though, it takes so much lead up. And like, you know, we created like an entire like ARG story that kind of went along with like a mailing list campaign beforehand just to get to the Kickstarter type deal.
Man, and you've put in so much effort.
It's crazy.
That. Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, to some extent, it reminds me very much of like, you know, kind of the startup world because you have to get these investors to kind of get behind you on the concept so that you can go build the concept.
Yeah.
And this is a little bit different because obviously to some extent we're trying to test the market and see like, okay, do y'all want this product? Is anybody interested in this story? And if you are, awesome. We need your help to make it happen.
Yeah.
And if you're not, cool, no worries. And if not enough people are interested, we won't make it.
But go find something else to do.
Man, I am so hopeful that people will get behind it. I want to encourage everybody who's listening right now to head over to findeversale.com. You've been hearing it before, you know, this podcast and several other podcasts. You know, this is a season of life where we really need to, you know, put this out here and see if folks are going to get behind it. But
yeah, sure.
I'm hopeful and I'm excited. And we
That's
got
great,
some
man.
Fun piratey content over the next couple of weeks to go into as well.
Kind of dovetail with it.
Woo,
yep.
Man.
It's great.
I'm excited. I'm excited. How are you doing?
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah.
No, it's been a crazy few months, you know, since we linked up. I was sick for a very long.
You're healthy now. Last time I saw you on death's doorstep.
I'm generally healthy now, but I tell you, I got sick as you and I were recording last go around. And
you look like the crypt. No, not the crypt. Well, kind of like the crypt.
I look like those lizard people out there.
You look like the lizard people. That's right.
In Las Vegas. Was that Wayne Newton's ghost? No, anyway. So, you know, it's just been a hard few months. I was actually so sick right after that. I had to take a week off work. I mean, the doctor was like, it's not COVID, but we don't, I went through two rounds of antibiotics and all this craziness. Anyway, you know, so it's been a hard few months. I ripped the door off my minivan. I told you that story. All 155 pounds of me, like, literally went into, like, rage mode. And right. And it's just, it's been a difficult few weeks. So that's its own story in a different podcast that is not probably family friendly. But anyway,
I don't know. There might be a father to father.
At least there's probably a father to father in there. But anyway, suffice it to say, modern minivans just. Whew. But yeah, man, you know, things are looking up, man. We're glad to be here and thrilled. We've had a really, you know, exciting couple of months around the shop, really. Of course, we had a big La Florida Minicana event for the shop's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had, of course, the big event was Jackson Pipe Night, which was so much fun. Had people come from all over. You know, that was, of course, sponsored by the Pipery and the folks that make the Pocket Jar, and Dave and Mike and those guys came over. And it was just a great, great time. And they actually brought their friend Jason Hansen with them. He was the guy that actually won the slow smoke competition.
Yeah.
He won it at 51 minutes, 41 seconds. So
isn't that interesting?
Pretty cool.
It's always like, hey, here's our buddy who you've never met before.
Yeah, we brought in the ringer. Yeah.
And that's always the one. And then, like, that's the
turkey.
There is some sort of, like, underground, like, network of slow smokers that are just out there. And
no,
you can rent them out, and they come to your slow smoke competition, and they split the winnings with you, you know, like 60-30 or whatever, which isn't math, by the way. That's not math.
60-30.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm gonna stick with it.
You own it, man.
I'm just gonna stick with it.
Just own it.
Man.
But anyway, it's been good, and we've had a lot of fun. We're actually next week having a huge Camacho cigar event and Reckoning. Camacho Cigars, of course, owned by Davidoff and awesome company. Those guys are coming to the shop on Thursday, the 27th of October, 2022, the year of our Lord. And also Dead Reckoning String Band, which is a bluegrass band from Louisiana. Ira Barger and his crew are coming over. He's actually a Country Squire Radio listener, a big pipe smoker, and really talented bluegrass group. So anyway, they're going to come over and play live music that day. So it'll be a lot of fun.
You know, I hear about all these live events at the shop. It kind of makes me it just makes me think about things.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say about that right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, it makes me think about, maybe we need to do a live event at the Squire.
Well, you never know.
Live Country Squire. We'll talk about that later. Stay tuned on that. Hey, all right, man. This is fun. So we did this in Miami. We did a Miami mailbag episode.
Yeah.
And but just because we had so many emails and everything coming back together from doing kind of these batched episodes, which have been so much fun.
Yeah.
It's so great to be in different locations and kind of get a different energy in every single, like, city and location that we're at. Vegas certainly is its own energy as well.
Yeah, sure.
And so I'm excited to do a Vegas mailbag episode here with you as we kind of, like, gear up, get into, like, these next couple of episodes. Before we do kind of the emails, and we've got so many emails that have come in. And
I know.
By the way, you know, obviously, just for if you've written in but you didn't hear our last mailbag episode, the way this works is we try to get as many emails as we can into an episode like this. But if you don't hear it here, then you may hear it in a future episode as part of our listener feedback or part of our Pipe Question Week or Quick Pipe, whatever it may be.
It doesn't just, you know, well, typically it doesn't just get deleted sometimes.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. So we try to work it in everywhere. So you know, just stay tuned. So if we missed yours this week, then continue to stay tuned. But before we actually dive into the emails, I need to tell you I get to do something for you that you always do for me.
Uh-oh.
On this. And typically whenever
clean up your messes.
Well, all right, fair enough.
Actually, it's more the other way around.
I wasn't going to say it, but
it's definitely more the other way around. I was just trying to be funny, but now I'm like, nah, I'm the one that makes the messes. All right, go ahead.
No, typically you come into town and you are Santa Claus busting out your bag with a bunch of gifts that people have sent in and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, I didn't do that this time.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
I have got something for you.
Really?
Yeah. So I went to Grand Rapids, Michigan. So I do this every single year.
Right. Yeah.
And to our listeners in Grand Rapids, if you're hearing this and you feel betrayed because you didn't know I was in town, I apologize. That's on me. But it was also intentional. It's not because I don't love y'all, because I do love y'all. But it was this particular trip for family dynamic reasons and everything else.
Low key, and
it was trying to keep things a little bit more low key. And actually, even the last event that I went to in Grand Rapids, I feel like I had such, like, a negative energy because I was coming off of trying to adjust to that particular trip with the family and everything. And I was, I think I was like, I'm never coming back. I think it's what I just, told them or something.
It was so hard for you because of other things.
Which we won't get into. But the point is that so this particular trip, it was kind of, I was really trying to like, you know, spend that time with the family and everything else, but I still wanted to connect with folks. So I reached out to our boy, Eric.
Yeah. Eric Karlowski, man. Yeah. Dear friend. And man, just one of the real gems in the pipe community. Love Eric.
Oh man. Yeah. He's a champ. And I messaged him and I said, look, you know, I know, y'all are so great about like getting a big group together whenever I come to town. Don't want to do that this time, but I would love to spend time with you. And so me and my wife and he and his wife all got together.
Yeah, that's great.
And he brought us out to this sweet, like, you know, coffee wine place. And there was like this ex-pastor or worship leader and he had his band and they were playing. It was really nice. And we were on the back patio smoking pipes and everything. Anyway, so he gave me some stuff.
Yeah.
Something that I will share as part of our live show tonight live in front of everybody, which will be fun.
Fantastic. Can't wait.
So I'm not telling you what that is, but this is something that I'm sure he's mentioned this to you before, but Atomic Breakfast. Have you seen this?
This is ringing a bell.
So this is his creation. Okay. The Atomic Breakfast Blend. And okay. Describe kind of what you're holding in
all
your
hand. All right. So I'm holding a plug tobacco or a crumble cake. I can't quite tell. I think it's a plug. But anyway, it's a very hard little brick of tobacco, and it is vacuum sealed in something like food grade vacuum seal. Like, I mean, it's like, you know, something that's basically been shrink wrapped. I mean, this is the same kind of material that, like, you know, they would preserve, like, I don't know, like astronaut food in.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
It's got this cool logo, Atomic Breakfast Blend. It's got the little nuclear thing and a fork and a knife, and it's a
On one side, the other side
is a skull.
Yeah, right.
So, am I supposed to smoke this or use it to like poison my neighbor's cat or something? I don't know. Yeah.
No. You're definitely supposed to smoke it. But here's the funny thing about this. I had to get this through TSA. Now,
with the skull and crossbones,
with the nuclear symbol, the nuclear thing,
and like it's shrink wrapped, like you might do to like if you were trying to smuggle a human kidney,
some sort of like scientific grade, like shrink wrap and everything. And like you have to understand, they stopped me, John David.
Did they really?
They did. They stopped me for both of my bags. Now, and I was thinking the entire time, I was like, they're gonna bust open, and I was so worried because a lot of times whenever they find a substance, they have to open it up,
right?
And I was like, this is the only plug that he gave me, and I really want to give it to you.
So they're like, cut this open and like
they open up my bag. And here's the thing.
That's so funny.
I travel, especially for these, but when I travel with a ton of recording equipment.
Yeah, sure.
So fortunately,
every time, yeah.
One of them was like my audio interface. The other one was my speaker. They never touched that. They never even like saw it because it was kind of tucked down in there and everything. I was like, okay, all right, we're good. But anyway.
This is something you put in your checked bag. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. That's so funny. Well, man, I'm glad to have this. I can't wait to try it. Eric, thank you so much. And man, he is a wild tobacco experimenter. I love my dear brother.
You know, while I was in Grand Rapids, I also, because I can never not do it, man. I dropped Beard Core Line. He was busy. He was working at this dive bar, which was awesome. And so my wife and I just kind of popped down on him at work, and you know, we didn't want to distract him for too long or anything like that. But saw him, got a chance to speak real quick, and he held me accountable because
I'm glad someone did.
Well, so I got a gift. I think it came to the shop and then you shipped it to me, or maybe you gave it to me as part of a previous thing. But this pipe rack, where it was like these two wooden kind of things with metal across,
it's
and then
beautiful.
These leather. Oh, it's gorgeous,
really beautiful.
It's in my office. It's actually if you go right now to findeversale.com, you'll see a video of me kind of pitching the Pirate's Daughter, but in the back is that pipe rack with all of my favorite pipes on it.
Oh, that's nice.
And so I mentioned it on the show that obviously that we got this, but I failed to give the guy a shout out. And so I apologize because that was Brian Lawrence, who's a good friend of Beard Core.
Absolutely.
And hooked me up with that. And Brian, thank you. Like that is... There's of all of the wonderful pipe memorabilia, of which many is now actually on that rack. That rack has a big prominent place.
It's one of the most beautiful pipe racks that I've seen in recent memory. Of course, everyone's kind of come up with their, you know, you can get on Etsy and find all kinds of pipe racks that people are producing now. But Brian has created a really nice piece. So, I encourage folks to check out his work for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. And so just to bring it full circle back with the Grand Rapids, we've got our first email is actually from Eric, and it's about the Atomic Breakfast Blend.
Oh, wow.
Why don't you go ahead and read that for us?
Yeah. Okay. Bo Nikki and I had one hell of a time tonight. I guess he wrote that the actual evening that you guys got together. Yeah. You're stars and diamonds in my book. Here's the description for Atomic Breakfast Blend. And again, this is this blend that is in this shrink wrap thing that Bo just handed me. All right, quote, no need to run to a fallout shelter. The fireball will not detonate in your pipe and produce a scorched mouth, but its radioactive fallout will leave pleasantly haunted shadows wherever you smoke it. Congratulations, you've survived another day. This morning, enjoy your atomic breakfast at Ground Zero. Delicious. So I have no idea like what's in it. Like,
He sent that as well, but I wanted to read that.
Okay. But I did like, am I going to smoke this? And my wife is going to like, you know, have to call the fire department or something. Right. That's great.
That's good stuff, man. Man, we also got an email in from Gerson Fernando de Anito, which I always love.
I think you crushed it.
See, That's the thing. Like, his name is so awesome that I kind of feel like I have to get it right.
I think you nailed it.
I hope so. He says, "Dear John David and Bo, first of all, I would like to congratulate John David for acquiring the title Master of Pipes." Now, let's pause for a minute here, because I don't think I've been able to actually address you in person as such.
We've seen each other since then. All right. We've seen each other since
Maestro?
Then.
I think Maestro is probably more appropriate.
No, this is just...
Maestro of pipes. I like that.
Just stick with John David. How
all right,
about that?
He says, "It is awesome and really well-deserved. His profound knowledge about pipes and pipe tobacco is beyond question, and his role, along with Bo, in spreading the pipe culture all around the world should be highly praised. So congratulations, and thank you, Master John David and Country Squire Radio."
Well, Gerson, that's really, really, really kind of you. Man, I'm really grateful to the folks in Chicago for that, and for just the pipe community in general, and for the folks that nominated me. I mean, our whole goal here is just to continue to build the pipe community and make it stronger and more robust so that it lasts for a really long time. And I'm just glad to be a small part of that. So
now Garcon actually, he took it to the next level.
Yeah.
So he created a parody of Master of Puppets. You're familiar with Master of Puppets. What was the... That was a band. Oh, no, that was not a band. That was a song from Metallica. Master, wow. Master. You know that one?
No, I don't think so.
All right. So I'm not going to sing this one.
Good. I would prefer that you didn't.
I'm not a metal. Come call him faster, obey your master, or your pipe burns faster, obey your master. Master of Pipes is pulling stems, twisting tobaccos, and curing leaves. Blinding by smokes, he can't see a thing. Just call his name when pipes are clean. JD, JD, just call his name when pipes are clean. JD, JD.
Man. I feel like I should start headbanging or something. Man,
I know.
Hey, I'm really grateful. That's incredibly creative. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Now, man, recently I did something that we've not done before, and I hope to do like extremely in the near future. Probably, you know, I'll probably announce it like within the next week or so, honestly. But I want to do another hangout with the club.
Yeah,
so
sure.
What I did,
I heard that went really well.
It was fun. Yeah. It was sparsely attended because it was very last minute and everything else.
Yeah.
And it was great because not only did we get kind of a nice discussion and I was able to put it out as kind of like a special episode of Country Squire Radio, but, you know, we got some feedback on it as well. So Andre Tessier, I believe, is...
Andre.
Yeah, he says...
He's one of my dear, dear friends,
says,
man.
"I would like to thank you so much for starting the club hangout just as my lunch hour ended." Andre was not able to join us. But Tyler, on the other hand, was and was featured on the episode.
Said, Tyler, great, great friend, man.
I believe he's actually here. In fact, he says, "Hey, Bo, it was great connecting with you. I can't wait to see you in Vegas show." He's got some ideas that he wants to share with us while we're here. So we need to find him and talk to him.
Yeah, too. Love Tyler. Longtime listener and great friend of the show and of the Country Squire.
Man, this next one comes in from Brian McNeven.
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 You want me to read it?
Yeah, what did Brian say?
"Another awesome episode, and in the spirit of the season, pumpkin, and in the light of that question about JD's knowledge, I realize what JD's ultimate mission in life must be. After sucking all the knowledge from the marrow of those other sources, JD is destined to pin the Tobacconomicon into existence and unleash it to the world."
Wow.
The Tobacconomicon. It's, of course, a reference to all the Lovecraftian Necronomicon, of course, which is, well, anyway, just Google it.
Did you just nerd out on me?
I did.
Wow.
I did. Wow. Yeah, it's okay. We'll cut that out later.
No.
He goes on to say, now if I had any graphic art skills, I'd make you a picture of what will be, referencing the Tobacconomicon. But my Halloween third eye sees a book bound in tobacco leaves in a big lock with a big lock on it. Maybe there are some other listeners who can show us this future. And that's from Brian McNevin.
Man.
So the Tobacconomicon, I like that.
Tobacconomicon.
Maybe the atomic breakfast should go in the Tobacconomicon.
That's right. That might need to happen. Man, Father Isaac wrote in. He says, hey guys, I just finished listening to the top three vintage pipe tobacco 10 art episodes with the quick fire questions included Puddle Glum versus Trumpkin. As pipe smokers, Bo couldn't remember if Trumpkin was on Caspian's side or the witch's side, or whether the Narnian dwarves smoked pipes. I reread Chronicles of Narnia about once a year, so this is pretty fresh on my mind. Trumpkin was indeed on Caspian's side, not the witch's. Nicabrick was the dwarf on the witch's side, and in fact, he's the only dwarf that is against smoking a pipe. Throughout the Chronicles of Narnia, whenever anyone is anti-pipe smoking, they're either a villain or suspect in some ways.
I love that.
Yeah, I've always found that super interesting. At any rate, keep up the good work. Regards, Father Isaac.
I love Father Isaac. Yeah, dear friend from Texas. And man, thanks for setting us straight on all that stuff. Man, rereading the Chronicles of Narnia every year, like yeah. That's probably a good practice for humans.
That's
like
good,
that, yeah. that would be a way to bless yourself for sure.
You know, it's interesting. My dad used to read us the Chronicles of Narnia when we were kids.
Yeah, same.
Bedtime story. And, you know, part of the struggle of being dyslexic is I have tried and failed to read stories to my kids.
Yeah.
Like I tried and actually I tried the Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah.
And I stumbled so hard. And now they my kids read circles around me. They're
right.
Extremely good reading. But what I did was instead was I made up my own stories and you know, would tell them those bedtime
stories. So wonderful,
stories.
Man. So, yeah, that's great.
All right. Now, we've got some emails in because on a previous episode, we had asked people of flavor profiles that had never been done before.
Yeah, okay. I remember that.
Yeah, what would you like? And we got some interesting responses is what I would say to that. But let's kick it off with Brian here. What did Brian have to say first?
Brian says, hey guys, in a previous episode, you asked what kind of pipe tobacco we'd pick that has not been done before. For me, it would be a Highland Grog coffee.
He said Highland Grog coffee.
Whoa. It's the only flavored coffee I enjoy, and I've always felt it would translate so well into a pipe blend. I've never been entirely sure what's in it. Some descriptions say it's a mixture of liqueurs and spice. Others describe it as a caramel, butterscotch, and hazelnut.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Anyway, I hope you're doing well. That's from Brian Wilson. Highland Grog coffee. Brian, write in and let us know who makes that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm assuming that you've gotten, like, this is a flavored blend from maybe one of your favorite coffee roasters or something. We'd love to know who makes that. I'd love to try it out.
I'm about to
sometime.
Say, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty brand loyal to Bean Fruit, but I'd put that in my rotation.
Yeah, no, we love trying new coffees. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's great.
This next one, though, comes in from John Bonelli.
Bonelli.
Oh, man, Bonelli, man. I was about to call him Bone Lily.
I see Bonelli three times a week, and now I will call him Bone Lily.
All right, tell Bone Lily I said what's up.
I will tell Bone Lily that you said, hey, bro.
So what did Bone Lily have to say?
He said, on the subject of what kind of pipe tobacco we'd pick that hasn't been done before, you may keep scoffing at me, but when this becomes a worldwide hit, I'll be laughing all the way to the bank. Keep up the good work. Enjoy the podcast. Okay. Do you know what he's referring to?
I do. For whatever reason, it didn't end up in the notes, but I actually do.
John Bonelli, dear friend, court jester at the Country Squire, world's best mortgage broker, he has been on me to make a fried chicken pipe blend.
Yeah,
and he's like, look, we're from the South. We've all got diabetes. Like, we love, you know, eating deep fried food. Like, let's make a fried chicken blend.
Lean in hard.
Just own it. Just own it. Like, you know, everyone's going to buy it. Like, even if they don't like it, they're going to try it once. Like, you know.
Dude, you take, if you're
Bonelli's successful. He's been on me.
If you're successful at capturing the essence of fried chicken and a pipe tobacco.
Yeah.
If you were to take some of that, take a pinch of that, mix in a pinch of second breakfast, you got yourself chicken and waffle right
chicken
there.
Chicken and waffles.
Man, you got to do that.
And it's like, you think about the correct spice for like a good piece of fried chicken, like that, you know, like take the Colonel's original recipe and kick it up a few notches with some of that flavorful, you know, zing. I don't know, it's a challenge.
I think Bone Lily is onto something.
Old Bone Lily.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to hate us for that.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Man, the next one coming in from Logan. What did Logan have to say?
Logan R. He says, "Hey, fellas, I just finished listening to the Pipe Club Spotlight episode, which was really a really pleasant surprise. Being able to hear some thoughts of our fellow pipe smokers was a surprisingly cathartic experience." It always is.
Yeah.
I'd certainly be interested to hear more like this, even though y'all just talked about not having interview shows. I think this one works well. I thought I might share some of my answers to your questions for how it might be useful.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
My first episodes were all the 101 series. So dang essential. I'd love to see it all compiled and neatly wrapped under its own RSS or however that works.
Let's pause right here.
Yeah.
So this is I can't remember if I referenced this on the show or not, because, you know, yeah, when it was great, because part of the hangout was I got a chance, you know, to share with the people that showed up some behind the scenes things that I cut out of the podcast as kind of a reward for being there. And that,
yeah,
sort of thing.
Sure.
And but I can't remember if this one made the podcast or if it was kind of cut from it. But you and I were actually literally just talking about this before we hit record,
mm-hmm,
and kind of thinking about how can we enhance the show that we have in terms of like the backlog of content that we have. And one of the things that I'm looking forward
to, like 470 episodes.
It's a ton.
We've been doing this for years.
But one of the things that in the coming year that I am looking to do that I can almost guarantee is going to happen.
Yeah.
Is going back and taking these different series that we've had over the year and putting them, my thought is on YouTube, because on YouTube you can create these playlists, like you can have like your stuff,
yeah,
released,
sure,
you know, in order, but then you can go back and you can create, like, for example, all the Squire Selects, there's a tab, boom, you got all the Squire Selects episodes right there.
Yeah, all
one,
the
Pie,
yeah,
Smoking 101, which are always our biggest episodes.
Yeah.
And like you pull them, boom, you got them right there and that sort of thing.
That's great.
And so I've thought about doing this in the past, but I guess I kind of drug my feet mostly because, you know, we're putting a podcast, which is not necessarily a visual thing, mm-hmm, up on YouTube,
mm-hmm,
and we'd have to, you know, basically just be our album art, because it wouldn't be, you know, our ugly mugs or anything like that.
Yeah, there'd be no video involved.
Exactly.
Right.
And so, like, you know, but at the same time, people do this now.
It'd be a way that you could just, you know, sort through all the information a little more cleanly, or, yeah, or even sort through it at all.
Well, and okay, without getting into too much detail, because the, you know, in the near future we'll be able to kind of share more about this, but what I don't want to just organize it, I want to enhance it.
Yeah, sure.
And I think for the moment that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah.
But suffice to say, it wouldn't just be about organizing it, because a lot of like technology has improved over the last, you know, 10 years.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
like,
yeah,
I think there's a way to make it even better. So,
yeah,
anyway, we'll talk about
great
that.
Yeah, it's exciting. Okay. Yeah, so he talks about the RSS feeds, and then he says, once I got through those episodes, it was much easier to transition into the rest of your content. Now that I knew a little more about you guys, I didn't have to be on guard. I could relax knowing that I was in good hands.
Right.
That's actually kind of a neat way to put it. He says, I started listening as I was taking a huge chance in my life. I left woodworking to pursue a flight education.
Oh, wow.
And got sober all at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Wow, this is awesome.
A sober pilot?
Man, that's praise the Lord. I'll spare you the sob story. Right. And he erases three paragraphs.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
But picking up the pipe was one of the best things I could have done in such a time of rebirth. The Squire Selects are hard for me to listen, yeah, to as a sober guy now, but I can appreciate it either way. Loving all the new series. Father to Father is huge. Always look forward to that. The emotional intelligence is really important to share and bolster others with.
Amen.
Yeah. He goes on with some episode ideas. Tension is one. T-E-N-S-I-O-N, that kind of tension. Where do you get pushback from smoking? What did your parents have to say about it? And how was smoking treated when you were growing up? I had a lot of shame to deal with when I picked up the pipe. Interesting. Yeah, interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
Concept. We see that, you know, that tension in smoking versus the modern world nowadays. Also, Country Squire 50th resolution. We were all so excited for JD and the big 50th anniversary and everything that he had planned. I feel like we never got any resolution from that. Of course, this is speaking, he's referencing 2 years ago was our 50th anniversary, and we all know what happened 2 years ago.
Right.
A little fairy called coronavirus came and visited us, and we had to cancel
everything. The planet,
everything.
Earth was canceled.
Earth was canceled, but you know, the Lunt to Remember was canceled. All our 50th anniversary activities were canceled. Yeah. I mean, it all went. I mean, our shop has been there 50 years, like now 52 years, but we didn't do anything to mark it really because we legally couldn't in our city. It was illegal to get together. So anyway, so he goes on to say, I feel like we never got a resolution to that. I also feel like that's about the last time we really felt connected to the shop. Mm, it feels really distant and separate at this point. I know the time has passed, but man, I'd really like to get together for a big Lunt and event at the Squire. I'm very much looking forward to when my fiance completes her master's and we aren't working on a single income. I've been waiting to join until I can get all of us on our feet. If you made it this far, thank you. Time is precious and I appreciate everything y'all do. That's from Logan R. Logan, let me just start. I mean, this is all great. Ooh, like, yeah. Man, so much good stuff here. I appreciate, you know, your feedback on those, Pipe Club spotlights and all that. And then also certainly your show episode ideas and certainly great points about the, 50th anniversary resolution and all that. But man, the thing that I just can't gloss over here though, is that like, man, your moment of this kind of pivot in your life, like where this, sobriety became a really big deal for you. It looks like you, a career change, like, again, and you're saying the pipe became kind of a part of that, this season of rebirth. And in some ways it'll act as kind of a marker of this time in your life where, things really pivoted in a new direction. Man, we're just so honored that you listen to us. Yeah, we're absolutely just so honored to be just a very small part of that story. Man, just congratulations. I mean, you have worked so hard. Again, we've never met. We're not familiar with your story that much, but like, man, from the sound of it, like you've come a long way, and I'm proud of you. I really am. So yeah. That's wonderful, man. Thank you for sharing all that.
Also, I hear that desire for kind of what the Lunt was supposed to be and never was.
Yeah,
sure. That's another thing. I mean, I'm telling you, man.
Dude, we had people flying in from all over the country.
I think there'll be another opportunity.
To Lunt in Jackson, Mississippi.
In Jackson,
like the whole, it was a disaster. We had to, people were canceling like hotel reservations. It was awful. I mean, coronavirus was truly awful.
Oh, it was the worst. I think there'll be another opportunity coming up.
Well, we'll see.
I want to talk about some stuff. All right, fair enough. Speaking of wanting to talk about stuff. Man, the holidays are upon us.
Yeah, no, that's right.
And I mean, like, that's the thing, right? Like, part of this desire for everybody to get together, we're in that, like, Thanksgiving mode and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah.
You know who else is in the Thanksgiving mode?
Missouri Meerschaum.
Our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum. What do they got going on right
Man,
now?
Man, that's exactly right. Well, of course, we're getting geared up now for Halloween. And Halloween, is kind of the entryway into our fall season here. And so, Missouri Meerschaum, we just want y'all to look forward to supporting them this holiday season as we get on into Thanksgiving and then on into Christmas past that. But they're going to have a lot of really neat promotions starting in middle of November and going all the way through the Christmas season. And so just really fun. Keep an eye on Missouri Meerschaum, particularly around that Thanksgiving week, the 23rd through the 29th, the few days after Thanksgiving. They're going to have some significant holiday specials on their website. And we really want you to go there and support them. And really, America's most iconic pipe manufacturer. We love them, are glad to be a part of their family, and want you to reach out to them. So go to corncobpipe.com. You can check out their whole catalog. They've got pipes and, of course, now even tobaccos and a lot of fun stuff, gift sets and things of that nature, some cool gear if you want t-shirts and caps. But check them out. But again, that time right around Thanksgiving, the 23rd through the 29th of November, you'll want to be sure to get on their website to take advantage of those great holiday sales.
Well, there you go. And big thanks to our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum for sponsoring this show.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Man, okay, we got another one in. This one's from Gabriel Roper. Gabriel Roper, who writes in... Gabriel, are you... Wait, does that name sound familiar to you?
Yeah.
Like, no, I mean like for somebody from Jackson.
No.
No? Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Gabriel, where are you from? Let us know. Gabriel writes in, he says, hey guys, I missed the recent club hangout, but listened to it on my podcast app. Love to chime in on a couple of things Bo had asked about, what I would like to see more of. And so these are kind of the suggestions, you know, in terms of, you know.
Yeah, that's
like
great. That's great.
This is really good because we were just talking about kind of planning out some future episodes and everything. Yeah. I think this is a good time to get a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
He says, what makes a good pipe from a carver's perspective as an aspiring carver and mechanics and et cetera? So kind of getting that inner workings of kind of making a good pipe. That might be, you know, that might actually be one to kind of pull in kind of an expert on and kind of do like a definitive, like look at, you know, a carver, like a master of pipes,
right?
You know, present company excluded. Like, you know, like a real master of pipe.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
like a master pipe carver is what I mean. Like a master pipe carver coming in and literally kind of giving that introductory or like that guidance to the novice.
Yeah.
I think that could be kind of interesting. I almost kind of wonder if we could bring in the pipe carver, but then also bring in a novice, because the novice would have, I would imagine, better questions that even you and I would come
sure.
up with.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that are actually trying to figure out. And we're just kind of like looking off to the side, like, this is great, y'all. This is great. So that's interesting. We'll have to think about that. This next one, he says, resources for growing my own leaf. It seems really hard to find sources and seeds. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
But isn't there some legality about talking about growing your own pipe tobacco leaf or I can't recall.
You know, my mind is not fresh on that. So I can't remember either.
Gabriel, there was a individual who had grown some tobacco plants and gifted some tobacco plants to the squire, to the old shop.
Yeah.
And you had a bushel of these large leaves that hung above the shop for the longest time. I think they're still there.
Still do. Yeah, sure.
They were in the old shop. Now they're in the new shop.
Yeah. It's actually the same strain of burley they use for Perique. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I would not smoke it now because it's covered in covered in dust and spider webs.
It's been cured by the country squire.
It is well seasoned.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's see. The next one up, he says, follow up to the above, processing my own leaf from harvesting a bowl. Somehow, what is the story about y'all's faith? Okay, now this one right here. The faith one is very interesting because it seems this has always been a question that people have asked, and it's one that we've never really figured out a good angle to like talk about it through. But
The right way.
Yeah. Because we're a pipe show. But, you know, I think with the new Father to Father series, I think that's going to provide us the opportunity to do this. And the main reason we're going to do this episode is because so many people have requested it.
So
that one is coming sooner rather than later for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Thank you, Gabriel, for those thoughts and ideas. Man, this last one is from what's up?
Yeah, I'm just reading ahead a little bit.
Okay.
And I giggled. Yeah.
This next one's coming in from Charlie Carroll. What did Charlie have to say?
He said, Mr. York, I just want to say your Scottish accent, from my British point of view, was stereotypically spot on.
It was exceptional is what it was.
What you just did, I don't think is what he's talking about.
Hang on, I'm trying to find it.
Because you just, yeah.
They're always after me, lucky. That's a different one.
Terrible. He goes on to say, it's hard for Americans to do British accents other than the received pronunciation. Think Downton Abbey, you know, the Queen's English kind of thing. If you could, I'd love for you to try a Southwestern Somerset accent. Very akin to pirates, and I think if you perfect this, I'll be overjoyed. I always loved the show, and JD, some of your delicious tobacco reached me in Japan today.
Wow.
And I'll be smoking a bowl in your honor. May God bless you both, and I hope you're all well. And that's from Charlie Carroll, a British man living in Japan.
Charlie.
That's so cool.
I'm glad you asked. Because you see, old Captain Jorvik is always here to tell a tale whenever it might be necessary.
Is that the right accent? That was the one that I would always...
Whenever I was playing Sea of Thieves and we would take somebody's ship, I'd come out and say, "Hey, Captain Jorvik's here to take your gold."
I think you're going to need to do some research here because a southwestern Somerset accent. He says it's akin to a pirate's accent, but I think you might need... That's a good challenge for you.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'll have to look into it. Here's the thing. It's very interesting. I can't remember if I mentioned this because I don't think we were there yet when we last got together to record. But so obviously, you know, we've been working on this project, The Pirate's Daughter.
Yeah,
Learn more information at findeversail.com. And, you know, part of what we've been doing, we got the Kickstarter to kind of launch the season. But I've also been, you know, working on the pilot episode in and of itself to kind of get that ready. And so we, you know, did a casting call. We got all our cast in, or most of our cast in. There's still some parts that we're still waiting to cast, and to some extent wanting to make sure that we're actually going to do the project before we backfill them because we're paying everybody. So we got to be very conscientious with the budget. But anyway, all that to say is when we did the casting call, the original goal was for this to be a Houston-based production. Right. And part of that was so that we could control the audio experience and everything and kind of get the, you know, clean audio. Well, we put it out there. And whilst I swear I put it in that I only wanted people from Houston, as we were getting in like the readings, like we would have, you know, say like we're looking for somebody with an Irish accent, you know, who's able to do an Irish accent, or a British accent, or, you know, a kind of some of the African diaspora, you know, some like a bunch of different accents that we were looking for. And you're like, man, these Irish accents are really good.
Yeah.
What, this is like the best Irish. Oh, they're from Ireland. And so we had all of these
are
people.
Actually Irish people, right?
Yeah, we had all these people like coming in from like England, and Scotland, and Ireland, and everything. Yeah. In the end, we ended up choosing a predominantly Houston or at least Texas based cast,
right?
You know, so it's just interesting that it kind of worked out that way. But like hearing some of those accents, it was just really, really funny to be like, oh, this is what actual people from Scotland.
Right. For the real Scottish person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is why I am not voicing any character in The Pirate's Daughter.
I think that's probably best.
If you've been holding out your support because I don't want to support Bo's terrible butchering of accents and everything.
Take that
else,
off your
don't worry.
List of worries.
I'm literally paying other people to do that. So
I think one of the things that amazes me the most about Great Britain is that it's an island about the size of, let's say, Texas, right?
Right.
But there are so many different accents in that area.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something we have some areas in the United States that have diversity of accents, but not like that. Not like that.
Well,
like that.
I don't think we hear it too much. Because like a Georgia Southern accent is different from a Mississippian Southern accent, is different than a Louisiana Southern.
But is it that different? Now, Louisiana is its own thing. You know, you've got folks around like Charleston and Savannah. I can see some of those things. And like even, you know, you go up around New England, you've got New York and Boston. I mean, I see it. But like I think the scale of a island that size, you know, I mean, they have that many different accent. I don't know. Right. I don't know if that's replicated anywhere else in the English speaking world.
I would love to speak to like a linguist who studies that kind of thing.
Yeah.
To like educate us a little bit on that.
Yeah.
Because I hear what you're saying. Because you hear like all the different accents from across Great Britain and everything, and our ears can pick it up. But I feel that that's actually kind of the case in the South in ways that we don't really realize.
Like folks from North Carolina sound like me. They sound just as ignorant as I do. They're not as ignorant. They're not as ignorant as I am, but like, you know, folks from Kentucky, most folks from Texas, like it's just like, you know, they're not as ignorant as I am, but they sure sound like it.
I was like, do I take the bait on that one? I'll let him do it. I'll let him go for it.
Let him hang himself. Yeah.
Listen, y'all, we appreciate the feedback and everything so much. And like I said, if you didn't hear your email or what you wrote in through through Patreon or through the social medias and whatnot, that's coming in future episodes. We promise it is our goal to try to get to all of y'all's feedback. And yeah, we just appreciate y'all so much. You can also send in your feedback at any time. Head over to CountrySquireRadio.com where you'll find all of our contact information. You can email the show, show@CountrySquireRadio.com. You can follow the show at Squire Radio. You can follow John David at John David Cole or the shop at _CountrySquire. But all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Man, we got some good shows to do. We got a live show to do.
Yeah, man. It's just an exciting, exciting season.
It is, man. All right. Hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.